ज्ञान मिरंदस्य ज्ञानांजना शलाकाया चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदामायं ददाति स्वापदन्तिकम्। वन्देहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगना रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं सद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदां सहगना ललित श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च। नमा ओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनीति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चात्यदेशधारिणे वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। I'm very humbled and moved being in your presence today. I'll begin with what came to mind, and I don't know what more to say, but once His Holiness Radhanath Swami told me that he had attended a banquet that a very wealthy Indian man in London had arranged for a popular religious figure from India. It was organized in a big hotel, and there was a sumptuous meal served, and that popular figure spoke a little. And afterwards, someone from the audience, very, you know, respectable, affluent people, someone asked him, "What is love?" And Radhanath Swami, I think, probably did a very good job of replicating his voice and tone. And he said, "Love. Love. Love. What is love? What is love?" And then he said, "Love is what you feel when you've been away from your dog." For a long time. And you come back. and your dog looks at you. With his eyes, and you look into his eyes. That is love. Now, I felt that the real essence of our association, the real essence of Krishna consciousness, is love. And I thought to myself, what is love? But I didn't feel satisfied with the answer given by that holy man from India. And I don't think I feel satisfied with what the dictionary says. And I don't have an answer. I think it's something that we have experienced to some extent, and that's why we're here, and that's what keeps us here. The first devotee who ever spoke to me personally was my godbrother, Bharadraj Prabhu. And he told me the first time he saw Srila Prabhupada and the devotees together. Although he was senior to me, but he had also just come to Boston a few days before I did. He had never met Srila Prabhupada before. And seeing Srila Prabhupada with the devotees, he had this thought or realization that Krishna consciousness is just love masquerading as a philosophy. And that is the essence, that is our goal, prema pumartha mahan, to love for Krishna. And because Krishna is the origin of everything, so love for Krishna includes love for everything and everyone. But especially in relation to devotees, because devotees are attached to Krishna, they're close to Krishna. So especially in relation to devotees, we can get a sense of pure spiritual love. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami gives a definition for love and for lust. And he says that kama, or lust, is the desire for one's own gratification. And prema, or priti, is the desire to give Krishna satisfaction. But Krishna doesn't mean Krishna alone in isolation. It does include the original personality of Godhead, Krishna. But Krishna also includes his associates, his entourage, his devotees, his servants. And it's in their association that we feel Krishna's love, which comes to us conditioned souls through parampara. Srila Prabhupada often said that perfect knowledge begins with Krishna. He's the origin of everything, but he's also the origin of perfect knowledge. And he conveys perfect knowledge to his immediate disciples, say in our line, Lord Brahma. Then Brahma conveys perfect knowledge to his disciples, for us, Narada. And Narada conveys it to Vyasa. And in this way, the knowledge comes through parampara. And the way to receive spiritual knowledge is through service, hearing, and also through service. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshyanti te jnanam jnaninas tadvadarshanam. So pranipat, that means surrender. Pariprasnena, that means by asking questions, that means hearing. It's understood that you're hearing, and in response to hearing, when you have a doubt or want some clarification or elaboration, so you inquire. And sevaya, by service. And Srila Prabhupada would often say that that service is offered to one spiritual master, then he offers it to his spiritual master, his spiritual master offers it to his spiritual master. And the service goes all the way back to Krishna. So the knowledge comes down to us through parampara, and our service from Krishna, and our service goes up to Krishna through parampara. But the essence of it all is this mysterious entity or phenomenon of love, which is so powerful. One great sage was asked, what are the basic necessities of a human being? And he said, to give love and to receive love. We need to be able to give love, and we need to be able to receive love. And actual love, true love, pure love, is only possible in relationship to Krishna or God. Without Krishna or God, there may be a semblance of love, or more likely lust masquerading as love. And I think of the words to a Beatles song. Please, please me, my love, and I will please you. Well, that is not love. That is really lust. If you please me, I'll please you. It's really a business transaction. If you don't please me, the implication is, if you don't please me, I won't please you. That's not love. Love is exemplified by pure devotees. Srimati Radharani is the most exalted love for Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And he prayed Ashlisya Vadparatastumam, that you can make me you can crush me by your embrace, or you can make me broken hearted by not being present before me, but you are my worshipful Lord unconditional. And that is the nature of the devotee's love. It cannot be broken under any circumstance. Srila Prabhupada said that once Narada sort of chastised Krishna that the Pandavas are your devotees. They are completely surrendered to you. And what is the result of their surrender to you? They were put into exile. So many attempts were made to kill them. They barely escaped with their lives. Their wife Draupadi was insulted, disgraced, humiliated. They had to live in incognito. They suffered in so many ways. Is that a very good thing for you to do when devotees surrender to you? And then Narada said, but I don't know what magic you have, that even though they have been subjected to such torturous difficulties, they still love you the same. What is this magic that you have? That even if people who surrender to you have to suffer terribly, their love for you remains the same. In fact, it increases. What is this magic? So whatever Krishna is the origin of everything, he's the cause of all causes. And the vision of a devotee is whatever situation he's in, ultimately Krishna is the cause of it. And he accepts it as Krishna's mercy. And his love for Krishna is not diminished. It's not disturbed. All right, Krishna wants me in this position. I accept it as Krishna's love. And I still love Krishna. No matter what. So this is the reciprocation between the Lord and the devotee. And by hearing of the Lord's pastimes with the devotee from Srimad Bhagavatam and other scriptures, from saintly persons who repeat the instructions of Krishna, we can feel Krishna's presence. Krishna is absolute. He is not different from his name. He is not different from his form, the deity. He is not different from his qualities. He is not different from his pastimes. And so by hearing about Krishna, we actually experience his presence and get some sense of the beautiful loving relationships he shares with his devotees. But as Surab Damodar Prabhu quoted His Holiness Bhakti Chaitanya Swami, that yes, on the absolute platform, the book Bhagavat and the person Bhagavat are the same. There's no difference. But still, according to this account, the person Bhagavat is better because he can catch you by the ear. And of course, that is also a manifestation of love. But I would put it in broader terms that yes, it's through the association of devotees that we get a sense of, you know, sublime spiritual love. And that love is manifested in different ways, in different relationships. Srimad Bhagavatam describes prema, maitri, pripopeksha, sakaloti samadhyama. That the madhyam Bhagavata, and Srila Prabhupada said he wanted the devotees in ISKCON to act on the madhyam platform. That's a challenge because most people begin on the Kanista platform, so it's a challenge to come to the madhyam platform. And according to this instruction of Srila Prabhupada, even if someone's on the Uttama platform, he should act on the Madhyam platform to fulfill these four functions. So prema, that is for Krishna, one gives his love to Krishna. Maitri means friendship. We should have friendships among the devotees. And kripa means mercy, Krishna kripa, Krishna's mercy. The Madhyam Bhagavat gives mercy to innocent people. And Srila Prabhupada explains that generally the spiritual master is on the Madhyam platform or acts on the Madhyam platform, and he initiates disciples who are generally on the Kanista platform. So that's kripa, giving mercy to the innocent, and upeksha, neglects. That is for the envious. If someone is envious, we neglect them in the sense that we don't try to preach to them. Because if they're envious and we try to preach to them, they'll become angry. In one talk, which I quoted yesterday, in relation to Srila Prabhupada's arrival in America, he was saying that the people that we have to deal with are like animals. They are animals. Cats and dogs and hogs. And he said, so we have to deal with them very carefully. Otherwise they will bark. So, so with the envious, we neglect them. It doesn't mean that we don't care for them internally. We want them to be Krishna conscious, we can think of ways to engage them, you know, induce them to take prasad or somehow participate. But we don't preach to them directly because they may just become more agitated. But these are all actually different manifestations of love. The different relationships of love. Of course, we love Krishna in different relationships, as we know from Shastra. But in a similar way, we also have different relationships the spiritual master is like a teacher or spiritual father, and therefore he gives instruction, he gives mercy, and the dependents, they hear the instructions, ask questions, and render service. And then between equals there's friendship. But even with the spiritual master, when the relationship is such, there can be an element of friendship. I was struck when I read Srila Prabhupada's concluding words to his spiritual master, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. He referred to him, my eternal spiritual master, guide, and friend. So that struck me. But the basis of the relationship is surrender. Without surrender, that friendship or so-called friendship is cheap. It's not. The basis is surrender. Even in our relationships with Krishna, these five rasas, the basis is surrender. Without surrender, nothing follows. And we see that mood even in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srimati Radharani. You can, crush me by your embrace or make me brokenhearted by not being present before me, but you are my worshipful Lord unconditionally. It's the mood of surrender. And the surrender just increases, you know. Dasya ras, sakya ras, vatsalya ras, andurya ras. But it's always there. That has to be there. If that's not there, then it's false. Or some shadow of something, or some glimmer of something. But surrender has to be there. But with surrender, with submission and service, there can be an element of friendship built on the platform of submissive oral reception and service. And then amongst God brothers, God sisters, people of a similar generation and understanding, friendship, which is so important, that actually defines the Madhyam Bhagavat. Maitri is such friendship. Advaita Acharya mentioned the Puna Yatra, And I recall the first Punyatra I attended. It was after His Holiness Radhanath Swami had decided, there's a bit of history here, but he had decided to approach the GBC body to come back into ISKCON. And it just so happened I was going to be in Pune at the same time as the Pune Yatra. So I thought, well, I'll go for one of the sessions. I think it lasted 3 or 4 days. And it was such a moving experience spiritually. I ended up spending almost my whole time in Pune, at the Pune Yatra. And after the Pune Yatra, Maharaj and I rode back on the train with all the devotees from Bombay who had come. And he went through the different carriages, bogies, on the train. And he asked the different devotees what they liked the best about the yatra, what was their favorite part. And the greatest number of devotees gave the answer, the questions and answers. And later Radhanath Swami commented to me that the reason that they liked the questions and answers so much, apart from other reasons, is that we did it together. He and I did it together. And what they really liked more than anything else was seeing the two of us together and seeing the loving relationship between us. And that might have been more special then because they hadn't officially come back to ISKCON, and I think I was like the maybe first ISKCON sannyasi to come. And another wonderful event took place. There was a very nice devotee named Abhiram Thakur. He had actually first met devotees in Pakistan, and eventually he was very attached to Moggallila Prabhu and me because we were the first ones who preached to him. But then he was able to move to India. He was a Hindu by birth, actually Bengali Brahmin, Bhattacharya. And he was like very attached to me, and then, you know, in India he moved to Pune and took initiation from Radhanath Swami, and you know, that group was not in ISKCON officially. And so when the train was leaving the station, he was on the platform. Some of the Pune devotees, of course, they were on the platform. And Radhanath Swami and I were standing at the doorway to the railway car. And, you know, we had each had his arm around the other. And there was Abhiram Thakur on the platform looking at the two of us and just weeping profusely, just tears streaming out of his eyes, and Radhanath Swami commented that he was just crying such tears of joy because these devotees to whom he was the most attached were like in different groups, different camps, and he maybe never thought the two could be reconciled, and here were these two devotees like together, and like these, his heart was like broken in two pieces, and by us being together, like these two parts of his heart were reunited, and he was just crying and great joy, ecstasy. So of course here there's a long history of very strong devotional friendships between Tamal Krishna Goswami and his god brothers, and so that was a gift that he gave to all of you, that you can see him with his god brothers. And in Srila Prabhupada's last days, and after Srila Prabhupada left, Tamal Krishna Goswami commented that Srila Prabhupada was the perfect acharya. He set the perfect example for us to follow in every respect, even how to leave one's body, just from the very beginning of one's spiritual life to the ultimate end. But the one example he didn't give us was how to relate to God brothers, because he didn't have any God brothers with him in ISKCON. So that was a challenge for us to understand how to relate to God brothers. And by Krishna's grace, by Prabhupada's mercy, by the natural process of development of Krishna consciousness, natural maturity that comes as one practices Krishna consciousness, we have learned, or are learning, have learned, how to actually have loving relationships with God brothers and God sisters. And so that was a very major part of Tamal Krishna Goswami's life and the example he set for us and the legacy he gave us. And that has brought great strength to his disciples and his zone, that God brothers who were close to him, in the mood of service to him, are extending their care and association to his disciples and projects. Just, I think maybe 3 days ago, Hare Krishna. I received an email from Burijan Prabhu saying that I had come in his dream, and that in the dream I told him that I wanted to speak with him on the phone. So he sent me an email and said that I'm leaving Perth in 2 days, and it'll be harder to speak then, so we should try to speak before then. So we spoke, and then at the end I asked him, where are you going? And he said, oh, I'm going to Hong Kong and China. And I knew that was his service. I mean, I knew his mood. Of course, he was one of the first devotees to go to Hong Kong, so he does have that relationship with Hong Kong. But I knew really he was going to serve to Mount Krishna Goswami and get and please him and get some of his mercy. So that's been a tremendous gift that Tamal Krishna Goswami gave to the God brothers to whom he was close, and to all the his disciples and the devotees in his zone. It's out of love for him that we come and serve all of you and try to help you in your efforts to serve him. And as far as me personally, His Holiness Ratatva Goswami, he's like, I think he's my best friend. I don't think I could have, I don't even know if I would have made it out of the door of the house that I was staying in this morning if he weren't there. Since I've already quoted the Beatles once in a certain context, I'll quote them in a different context. They had another song, I Get By With a Little Help From My Friends. And I think that's so true. As devotees have mentioned, we can't do it on our own. None of us. None of us can do it on our own. We can't make it on our own. We need support. Friends, loving friendship. I felt that. Get by with a little help from my friends. And then it was very nice that the ceremony, I must say, was very beautifully organized. The decorations were wonderful. I really felt, you know, yeah, it's just so wonderful to get together and decorate the temple, the deities, the Vyasa San, talk about Krishna, chant the holy name of Krishna. And then it was a nice part of the ceremony when we were in front of the deities. And as Rasikendra Prabhu gave a garland for His Holiness Ratatva Goswami to place around my neck, then he gave me one to place around Maharaj's neck. And I said to Maharaj, you know, I think we're married now. And I'm very happy to be here. Of course, the exchange of garlands was just external symbol of it, but we are wedded in service to Prabhupada and service to ISKCON, service to Tamal Krishna Goswami and other dear servants of Srila Prabhupada. It is an eternal relationship. And I'm glad it is. And I'm glad that there will be another ISKCON in the spiritual world. Maybe we could do without some of the procedures and rules and regulations, but the chanting and dancing together and talking about Krishna and serving our superiors, that will continue. And the same people that we're doing it with here we can do it with them there. And that's wonderful. So our relationships are eternal. I mean, our relationship with Krishna is eternal, but Krishna with his other devotees. So, we'll have another ISKCON in the spiritual world. Up until Janak Maharaj spoke, I was just looking and seeing the speakers, but from where he was sitting and speaking, I was actually seeing him through the leaves here, and I really felt like I'm in a kunj, and like I'm peeking through the Janak Maharaj. You see me? I really felt like I'm like peeking through the bushes in the kunj, and there's Janak Maharaj. His Krishna consciousness is so deep that it just felt like I'm already in a kunj in Vrindavan while he was speaking. So we will meet each other in different forms, but the same people will be there. They'll just be different forms. And we'll recognize them. And we'll recognize our spiritual master, and we'll recognize his other servants, associates and servants. Whatever effort we make will not go in vain. We might think, if I put effort into my relationship with Krishna, it won't be in vain because my relationship with Krishna is eternal. And ultimately, all of my efforts, all of my chanting, all of my service, it will gradually bring me to the lotus feet of Krishna, because it's a continuous process, even from one life to the next. Even if I'm not completely successful, we'll continue in the next life. But even our relationships with each other, they'll also continue. We shouldn't underestimate the importance of our relationships with each other, because we need those to sustain us in our efforts and make us successful. It can be true at any time in any situation, but specifically during the foot bathing, I felt a lot for each of the devotees who was coming forward and appreciating them on a deep level. But in a couple of cases, I felt, this person has a problem with false ego. This person has some anartha in his heart. We have to deal with that. But even then I thought, but still, the love has to flow, because how are they going to get the strength to deal with their anarthas or false egos? How are they going to have the get the impetus to make the effort to deal with their anarthas and false egos? It's going to be from the love they experience in Krishna consciousness. So even if it does come to that stage that we have to deal, it may or may not, but if it does come to that stage, that we have to deal with someone's false pride or whatever the anartha is, false ego. The main thing is the love, because otherwise we just get discouraged or resentful or just, you know, could be many types of peculiar reactions. So that's, yeah, so it comes back to love. I don't think we should think, oh, this person has this fault, so how can I give my love to him, or how can I give my love unconditionally? They can give it unconditionally, and that will help the person. I mean, if you're in that position, in that relationship with the person, to help the person deal with that anartha. Anyway, it's wonderful. Krishna consciousness is wonderful. Prabhupada is wonderful. You all are wonderful. So I pray also, I'm listening to everyone's prayers very carefully. Dharma Prabhu was saying that he's a lawyer, so, you know, he likes to speak, and but he said that he's impressed that, like, he could ask a question that would have four parts to it, and I would, like, I'd listen very carefully, and I'd hear all the four parts and respond to them. So, my father was a judge. So judges have to listen carefully to what the lawyers say. So they can deliver the proper judgment. I think that this masquerade of philosophy now is coming to an end, because I'm not finding any more philosophical words. And I guess from now on it's just love and song and dance and Prasad. Srila Prabhupada.